Well, for a New Year's Eve edition of My Car Guru, we welcome you in, and we welcome, as always, the car guru, Mr. Lenny Lawson. Good morning, Lenny. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, you too, and you have your hands firmly on the controls today.
Yes.
So everything should go just perfectly, shouldn't it?
Well, it should, as I'm back in the saddle here, just like Gene Autry, been out for a few days, but...
You're very confident.
Well, I appreciate that, but we'll try to make things as smooth as possible on the ride here into 2021.
Well, you'll be glad to know that some people got out of jail this past week.
Well, it depends on who the people are.
Well, they're actually people who were driving illegally, and they happened to be women in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, okay.
So it was a crime punishable by imprisonment if a woman was driving a car in Saudi Arabia. But recently the law was changed, and the kingdom, which is what they call it over there, has decided that the driving ban for women has been eliminated. You know, if we did that in the United States, if we banned women from driving, we could finally find out that men are actually the worst drivers, couldn't we?
Yeah, I guess so. That's up for debate. I don't know. I will say that my wife is a very good driver, and I trust her completely under the wheel. In fact, did that over the last few days, quite a bit. She was driving, so I just know that she's a good driver. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say men or women are better.
Oh, I'm definitely going to go out on a limb. What I do.
You think women are better?
I live on the limb.
Okay. Well, go out on that.
Oh, yeah. Then.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I live on the limb. I do believe that women are overall more careful drivers, let's say. Okay? I don't know that they're better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's to say from a coordination and physical ability who is better? I'm not going to say that. Modern cars have made driving a lot easier. A lot of the driving is done by the car, depending on the brand of car that you have. You know, we have all these modern systems to keep us from bumping into other people now.
Mm-hmm.
But from a careful standpoint, I think women are more careful. I think that is proven.
Okay.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt. So I'm going to stay out on that limb because, you know, we got to keep those women happy.
Yes,
right?
We do. Absolutely. So you would say, you might say, too, that they're maybe the more defensive drivers as opposed to men?
I don't know as far as, I think they're more cautious. I think when you're cautious, you are naturally more defensive. I mean, you are, you take fewer chances. I mean, I see a lot of, I decided when we went to get my grandson this past weekend, I decided to go the speed limit. And it was like I was sitting still on the interstate. And I like on a three-lane highway, I don't like being on the, is there three lanes on my side? I like being in the middle. I don't like riding in the far right lane because it's usually bumpier. I don't know if you've noticed that or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so the road condition is worse because I think that's the lane that gets the most traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm in the middle and these cars are zipping by me on both sides just like crazy between exit 23 down there at Bull's Gap in Knoxville. I said, okay, well, this is a bunch of crap. So I decided to go ahead and endure the slow lane bumpiness and not have to deal with the being passed. And the vast majority of fast drivers that I saw were men. So
mm-hmm.
that is my judgment. Speaking of fast driving, I wanted to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to kind of ease into this, and I'm going to tell you about some fast driving records.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just curious, Tim, if you were to go on a road trip, I mean a long one,
mm-hmm.
Okay. You could be gone for even a month or two. Where would your road trip take you?
Probably I would drive out west, across the Midwest and out west and circle around maybe the Pacific Coast, go up the Pacific Coast Highway, go up into Oregon and Washington, make my way, mm-hmm. kind of circle around and come back. Probably what I'd do.
Yeah. Would you start south? Would you go south first, or would you go north first and go down the Pacific coast?
I would start south and go north is probably what I'd do.
Would you really? Okay.
Yeah.
What would you drive? What would be your vehicle of choice?
Oh, goodness. That's a good question.
It's a long trip. You're going to be sitting a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be able to sit, yeah.
Well, definitely probably one of the newer vehicles. Probably a SUV of some sort.
I think that would be a good choice.
Something like that.
Yeah. You know, I think about the things that I would want to see, for sure, that I've not seen. I've flown over the Grand Canyon a lot, never stood and looked at it.
Yeah.
Been to California a number of times. I've driven the Pacific Coast Highway from San Francisco to Los Angeles before, and that was a thrill.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been north of, I've been a little bit north of San Francisco, never been up in the upper Midwest or upper Pacific West.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to see all that. I agree with you wholeheartedly, you know, about the round, but I would want to include Maine and stuff like that. Obviously some things that highlight spots and everything that you'd want to see. Well, the reason I bring this up is one of the big deals in the 70s was something called the Cannonball Run. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they made two movies out of it.
Well, the Cannonball Run is a real thing, and we'll take our first break, and then we'll be back here in just a minute and talk about what they've been doing on the Cannonball Run in recent years.
Back here on My Car Guru for this New Year's Eve morning as we say goodbye to 2020. After today, you know, you brought up Cannonball Run. One observation I would have when it comes to the movies, and this is the case with almost, it seems like almost every movie that has a sequel, the original I thought was better than the part two.
Well, you know, it's an amazing event. It's also illegal, you know, because of the speeds and everything that these cars done. But basically, the Cannonball Run is a specific, it's not a specific route, but it is a drive, an endurance drive, and trying to break a time record from the Red Ball Garage in downtown Manhattan to the Portofino Inn in Redondo Beach, California.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, on our road trip that we're kind of talking about, we wouldn't be in any hurry. You know, we're going to take our time and drive. The goal of the Cannonball Run, of course, it was underground. It was illegal cross-country race. It was put on initially by a gentleman named Brock Yates. And Brock was a writer, automotive-related writer and journalist, and very highly thought of in the 70s and in the 80s as well. He's pretty famous in the industry, wrote some really good books. But he started this with competitors attempting to go from New York to Los Angeles as quickly as possible. You know, the competition eventually died off, but it was revived in 2006 when a guy named Alex Roy and David Mayer broke the record. And their record, Tim, was 31 hours, 4 minutes to drive from Manhattan to Los Angeles.
Hmm.
You know, most people that I've talked to, that when they drive out west to California, it typically takes about 3 days of pretty good driving. So you can imagine the speeds that you would have to do. I mean, and also having to avoid law enforcement. You know, law enforcement with radar and stuff like that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating that people speed and that they do this. Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble with our friends from the police force. But the record has fallen numerous times since then. 6 years following their run, two guys jumped in their 2004 Mercedes-Benz CL55 AMG, which is the hot rod version of the Mercedes-Benz, and they added two 22-gallon fuel cells that were installed in the trunk, GPS units, a suite of radios, and some more tech to be able to get from Manhattan to Redondo Beach in 28 hours and 50 minutes. Not too long after that, November of 2019, that record was broken again by a couple guys driving a 2015 Mercedes. You know, you may ask, well, why aren't they driving a Ferrari or a Corvette or something like that? Well, there's good reasons for that. Cops kind of look for Ferraris and Corvettes, and so they want to drive a four-door sedan that maybe kind of looks like a cop car, you know, has room for the extra fuel tanks and is relatively comfortable. But now you've got, this is kind of an ongoing thing. The most interesting is one of the second latest record was done in June of 2020. Now, here's a guy that it basically took it to the limits. He not only broke the record, he rented the car from a rental agency. He took the back seat out. He rented a Mustang GT. He put enough tanks in there for 130 gallons of fuel, and he beat the record by 40 minutes. Get this, Tim. Mm-hmm. He averaged. Now, I'm talking about average speed. Mm-hmm. So there were speeds a lot higher than that, 108 miles an hour. Have you ever had a car pass you at 100 miles an hour when you're on the interstate?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are flat moving.
Yes.
But, you know, here's another interesting thing about Mr. Fred Ashmore. Not only did he rent the car and beat the record, but he was the only driver. Hmm. He didn't have co-drivers. Mm-hmm. Most of these guys have somebody riding along with them, you know, to help take it. But he made it in 25 hours and 55 minutes, only to be broken just several days later by two guys, Arnie Toman and Doug Cabot, I guess that's how you say his name, setting the fastest time ever of 25 hours and 39 minutes, 16 minutes quicker than the solo run. You know, they even modified, they used an Audi this time, you know, just a plain white Audi, and they disguised the front end of the car so that it would look like a Ford Taurus. And the reason they did that is because police use a lot of Ford Tauruses.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to look like a place. You know, I'd be curious to find out if they drive with their flashers on or, you know, what other kind of techniques they use to not get caught. I guess if, in certain parts of this country, if you're going 108 miles an hour and get caught, or 130, whatever their speed was at times, they're going to throw you under the jail.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get reckless driving. I don't think they're going to be real forgiving. Of course, I don't know. It depends on who you run into. You know, sometimes the police will let you slide, but usually they'll let you slide if you're maybe 10 or 15 miles over and you're really nice and you confess up front and don't act silly.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just can't imagine somebody getting off because of going that fast. But this is just what we Americans do, isn't it? You've got to break records.
Absolutely. Kind of reminds me of Smokey and the Bandit, you know, where they were trying to get from one place to the other and how many hours it was, 18 hours or whatever it was, and wow, they went from one coast to the other in 25 hours. That's pretty impressive. The question I would have, back to the guy that rented the car, you say he put extra fuel tanks in there, right?
Yeah, right.
So I wonder what the rental car company had to say about that.
Well, there was it's kind of weird when you rent a car in New York and 25 hours later, you turn the car in with extra gas tanks in Redondo Beach, California. I would say there was, can't you just see the rental agent when he pulls up the Hertz and says, yeah, I'm ready to turn this car in. So you drove, let's see, you left yesterday, New York, you drove 2,500 miles and you're already, or how far is it, like 3,000 miles or so, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little over 3,000, I think, yeah.
So anyway, it is kind of interesting, though. I would love to hear the conversation. I can't remember what happened with him. I think he was... he had to pay them a bunch of extra money, some damage costs. I think he removed the tanks, though, I read, before he turned the car in. But, I don't know whether it was Hertz or Avis or Budget. But if I owned the rental car company and I owned that car, I would be I'd be a little upset. I'd
be a little peeved. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's take our last break and be back. I'll tell you about what I had to do yesterday to get a title for a very old vehicle of mine.
All right, we'll be back after this. And on this last day of the year, we're back with the final portion of My Car Guru with Lenny Lawson.
Tim, you know, our lives have changed, obviously, in a lot of ways. I was talking to my daughter this morning, though, and she said, you know, I know 2020 was a terrible year in a lot of people's lives. A lot of lives lost, the country being in shock. But, you know, there's a lot of people. She said, you know, I've had a pretty good year. And I said, I get that. I mean, I understand. You know, the car business was not awful. We were down some, especially in the first quarter and part of the second quarter. But because they didn't shut us down, they considered car dealers essential for service and maintenance and car sales to people. You know, the car industry and most sectors of this country did. I'm talking about car dealers now. The car manufacturers got hit pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because of their inability to produce, and you know, we're still suffering from that with lower inventories and stuff, but you know, overall, you know, there's a lot of people did okay, and you know, I guess we can just be thankful for that. But boy, there's, like I say, I've got good friends right now that are in the hospital. One of them is on a ventilator. And, you know, you almost feel guilty if you feel good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think we have a lot to look forward to, positive things in 2021. I think that it's going to take a while. We were talking also about the fact that masks are probably going to be a part of our lives for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to understand that, you know, wearing a mask when you're sick is probably a good thing to do for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've just never really done that. I know you see a lot of photographs and videos of people in, you know, Oriental countries that wear masks a lot. And maybe they know something we don't know. But one of the most important things to do is to keep your car sanitized and clean. But a lot of the chemicals that we use are harmful to the plastics and the leather and some of the metal finishes that are inside of the car. There's so much plastic and different types of surface materials. And if you wipe it with just alcohol or some household cleaners, you're going to do more harm than good. You know, how often should you wipe down your steering wheel? You know, how often should you wipe down your gear shift knob, you know, your radio controls, all of these things that you touch on a regular basis. You know, you go into a restaurant, you come out, you go into a store, you touch the cart, you touch other things, and then you come into your car and you think you're safe there. And apparently, you know, you're not. Found a really good product, though, that can address that, and it's called Meguiar's Quick Interior Detailer Wipe. Now, Meguiar's, that's Meguiar, they make a lot of automotive cleaning products, waxes, things like that. But these detailer wipes are just like little, you know, sanitized wipes that you use at home,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you maybe use when you're changing diapers on a grandchild or something like that. But these are things that you leave in your car. And the good thing about this particular product is it doesn't have a real strong smell. As a matter of fact, it will keep your car looking and smelling like new. Shift levers, door handles, turn signal stalks, any frequent touch points you can use this on, and it won't harm it. Each canister comes with 25 ready-to-use wipes. Basically, you just pull one out, wipe down the surfaces in your car you want to clean, and then toss it into the trash. Several Amazon reviewers claim that one wipe is enough to pretty much clean the entire dashboard, so you can expect them to last a while. You can use them pretty much anywhere except on the windows. These things will wipe away the dust on the dashboard. They'll clean coffee that you spill on your leather seat. They will actually eliminate fingerprints on your LCD and navigation screen. You know, that's something that people use the wrong cleaners on. If you use a paper towel, for example, on one of those screens or your instrument cluster, the plastic on your instrument cluster, you can actually scratch it, you know, with a paper towel. And so these Meguiar wipes are just the ideal thing for people to use. And it also has, basically will, leave your car smelling good and gets rid of, any kind of odors and stuff, but it just rejuvenates just about everything in your car. I mean, most people don't clean their leather often enough, and this will do it. Still, if you have leather seats, you still need to use a moisturizing cleaner on your leather seat at least once a year, probably two times a year. I traded for a 2013 F-150 yesterday. It's a limited F-150. It's got 143,000 miles on it. And, Tim, that truck looks like a new truck.
Hmm.
The guy, I sold it to the gentleman. He lived in the Tri-Cities, and now he lives in Chattanooga. He called me and asked me if I'd be interested in buying the truck, and I said absolutely, because I knew how he takes care of it. He delivered it yesterday, and his seats almost look new. And I said, how did you do that? He says, I take care of it. You know, he said, lift up the floor mat. And I lift it up, and it's like brand-new carpet on a vehicle with 143,000 miles. And I ended up paying him about $4,000 more for that vehicle than I would have if it had been in average condition. So taking care of a vehicle does make a difference, and these Meguiar wipes will help you do that. So just a little tip that might help you keep your car looking good and then getting more money for your vehicle when you end up trading it with somebody like me.
Make that a New Year's resolution, perhaps, to take better care of your vehicle like that with those requires. Before we leave you, special things going on today at Gateway. It's the last day of the year. Probably a good day to maybe buy one.
That's right, and we're open tomorrow as well for part of the day. We're just trying to finish the year strong. And, of course, tomorrow is a new year, but it still counts as far as our sales that for the manufacturers that we represent. So, matter of fact, I think that the actual reporting for deliveries, which count towards our objective, ends on Monday. So we're going to be open tomorrow and Saturday. We will not be open on Sunday, but we look forward to visiting with folks. I'll be there. Would love to meet you. Love it when people come down that listen to the radio show and meet them and get to hear some of their stories and help them out with issues that they have with their cars. So thanks for mentioning that, Tim.
Absolutely, and Happy New Year to you and your family, and we'll talk to you, I guess, as the old saying goes, next year.